Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is September 12th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotoVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotoVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Actually met a couple people yesterday that, as is often the case when I visit the associations that are not able to come on live and listen to it on recording. I love hearing that from you guys. I thank you for letting me know. I always wonder who the people that download the call are. I will tell you, as I was talking to Scott from Alabama before the call started this morning, and realized I neglected to upload last week's call. So I will attempt to do that yet this morning. Couple things real quick. First off, we are at the Eastern Water Quality Association this week. So if you happen to be here, please come by and say hello to the booth. That would love to say hi to you. And also speaking tomorrow morning, and would love to have you come in and sit in the audience a little bit. That would be great. And also next week we'll be at Culligan Tri-State in on Monday and Tuesday. So same thing there. I'd love to see you there. And then also next week we'll be at WQA Leadership Conference in Chicago for WQA Midyear. So please say hello there if I see you there. So, or say hello at all of them if you happen to be at all of them, like I am. So, also wanted to mention that we have a couple spots available for the premium class that is beginning on the 16th, I believe, right, Michelle? Said Monday, right? Do we have a class starting, or is it the following week? I don't remember. I think it's next week that the premium class starts.
Monday is the virtual.
Yep, Monday we have the virtual class that starts. So if you have anybody that is interested in achieving their WQA certification, as well as some very one-on-one hands-on installer training, please let us know. We'd love to have your installers in the class as well. Okay, so with that, I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Anybody have anything? All right, well then we will jump straight into our topic today, and I wanted to kind of discuss associations. So, because I'm here at the Eastern Water Quality Association, we've kind of talked a little bit about this stuff before, but I wanted to talk a little more specifically about the purpose of associations and why I encourage so much involvement with an association, whether it's at the state, local, or national level. And this was something that I didn't really understand until a couple years ago when the late Dave Loveday, who was the legislative person, the head of government affairs for the Water Quality Association. He unfortunately a couple years ago passed, but Dave was actually instrumental in making sure that our industry was an essential service during the first months of the pandemic, which allowed us to continue to work and serve our customers. And that was, I know, a huge benefit to a lot of the dealerships that were out there. But I remember having a conversation with Dave, and it was really eye-opening. There was basically the primary purpose of any association, whether it is at the state, local or national level, is to have some level of legislative influence. I was having a conversation with somebody this morning about this, and there was somebody sent out an email from one of the local state associations, and they were kind of upset with it because the mission, they said, was to have a seat at the table, to have a legislative seat at the table. And there was no mention of in that mission of protecting water and, you know, protecting the industry and that sort of thing. And I think that mission could be expanded to have a legislative seat at the table, or to have a seat at the legislative table, in an effort to provide protection for members representing the water treatment industry. You know, I think you could certainly expand that mission. The primary mission in of itself is to be able to have a voice at that table. And one of the people that I was talking to said, that doesn't help me. I don't want to participate, but you know, what good does that do me, to be there? And I said, well, in order to have, and this is something Dave taught me, and I'm interested in the perspective of others on this call here in a moment, but the thing that Dave taught me is that in order to have that legislative seat at the table, and I don't think it necessarily means having somebody who's a member of state, local, or federal Congress or government. I think it means just having the ear, having somebody that has the ability to have the ear of members of government, okay? And you're more likely to have that ear if you have strength in numbers. And if you think about some of the other associations that are out there, sorry, I'm out walking and there's a plane above me, so one moment. This is what happens when you have to, I just step outside because they have music playing over the loudspeakers at the hotel. So I'm outside walking and there are very loud planes flying close by. So I apologize to everybody for that. But if you're more likely to have that voice or to be heard by legislators, by people who make decisions, then, you know, if you have a lot of people, if your association is strong in numbers, and the way you become strong in numbers is by providing value, education, resources, community. You provide that to your members to attract the members to the association, so that the association has the strength to have the voice when it becomes necessary to have an influence over policy. And I've been in this industry long enough to see a lot of, especially the regional or state associations, fold up or change or, you know, adjust. And it's amazing how quickly people understand that and they see that. And I'm thinking of Colorado as an example. Nearly happened in Minnesota, I think. But Colorado is a prime example of, you know, that Jen and I were last night. She's here. And we, when she was with Motor Vitality, we at one time several years ago drove out to Colorado together and to speak at the Colorado Water Quality Association convention. This was years ago, and I don't remember exactly what the presence they have now is. But about 2 years after we were out there, Colorado shut down. There was no interest. Now there's a train going by, planes, trains. So now there's a train going by really very close here to where I am. Colorado shut down, and shortly after the Colorado Water Quality Association shut down, the Plumbers Association, who had a strong membership, had voices, they had their seat at the table, they pushed through policy, and it was very close to being signed into law, saying, you know, into code, saying that water treatment guys were not allowed to install water treatment equipment, that you literally had to be a licensed plumber to do that. And I understand why sometimes plumbers push for that. First off, you know, just for the income, but also because there's so many of us out there putting these things in that don't have a clue what we're doing. And, you know, in terms of, you know, proper drain connections and water flowing properly, you know, looking nice and neat. So I mean, you know, that's a different conversation, right? I happen to believe that both industries should be at the same table having a conversation on how we can help each other and work together as opposed to, you know, we've talked about that on this call before. You know, I just, I'm not in agreement of bashing the other industries. I think the two should be really supplementary of each other, complementing each other. But because there was no association, fortunately, the Water Quality Association caught wind of it. There were members that reached out to WQA, and WQA was able to go in and with the strength of membership at the National Water Quality Association, was able to go in before it was too late on that one and come up with a solution that worked better for water treatment dealers in the Colorado, you know, in the state of Colorado. Seen the same thing. There's been incidents in Florida. I've seen the same thing. Ohio has a pretty strong water quality association because of necessity. The Eastern Water Quality Association, where I am here, is one of the strongest. Texas is pretty strong. And you know, they have some of the best, I mean, some of the best means of communicating their needs in the industry. So when we talk about getting involved with these associations, I think it's easy to miss the point of what they are. I think it's really easy to go to these things and complain about the classes, or maybe the breakfast, or I don't know. Or just go and maybe you're not complaining. Maybe you're going and you're enjoying the community and the camaraderie, you know. It's one of the things that I certainly enjoy about coming to these is just seeing people that I don't get to see very often. And, you know, because we all come from different parts of the country. And there's some really cool people in this industry. I know a couple of you on this call are going to be headed over to the Culligan Tri-State, you know, convention next week. That one is manufacturer specific, but I think it serves the same purpose. Now, it may not be an official association, but when you have a corporation or a company, you know, a name recognized company that is the same way, I think it's really important to participate in those events as well, because that strength in that corporation does the same thing. If a company like Culligan or Kinetico or EcoWater, you know, if they, and A.O. Smith is a huge player right now. I know, you know, if A.O. Smith, the leadership or the government affairs, I mean, most of these big companies do have government affairs people on board. Somebody that is there to make the phone call, should they, you know, should a policy get made that has an impact on A.O. Smith, there's somebody there that understands that they need to make some phone calls and get that seat at that legislative table. You know, so I'm, you know, expanding the encouragement to get involved in those, and those, you know, the associations to be sure, but also in those group meetings, you know, that your corporations and your companies have, same thing. So anyway, I've been sort of lecturing here for the last 15 minutes. What are you guys with me? What are your thoughts, questions, comments? Do you see it differently? You know, what's your opinion on all of this? Anybody?
Absolutely, Kelly. We got to be involved. We got to be involved in any association we can be. We got to promote good quality water, good quality installations, knowledge. I mean, we have to.
Do you feel like the mission of an association should be focused on its members or on a, you know, because this topic, like I said, I was in discussion with a couple people here about a smaller, much smaller state association. And the mission that they put out was simply to have a seat at the legislative table. And it had no mention of providing resources or protections for members of the water treatment industry. Should they have that in their mission statement?
You can have a seat at any table you want. I mean, if that's all you want is a seat at the table, then take a seat at your kitchen table and, you know, do nothing. Be involved in something that's going to make a difference.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's sort of the two have to go hand in hand, right? And as I mentioned, if you're going, you can have a seat at the table, right? You can have a seat at the kitchen table. But if you don't have anybody, you know, that seat, people are going to be more likely to listen to the person sitting in that seat if there's a strong backing of membership and support behind them, right? And so it is, I think, imperative, if that truly is the mission of an association, is to have that seat at the table, I think the next step should also be to have the support behind them that gets them the seat at that table, or that gets people, other people around that table listening to what they have to say. And that comes with membership. So it does sort of have, there is a necessity for an association, if they're going to be effective, to attract membership. And, you know, there's bureaucracy. Anytime you attract membership, you're going to have differences of opinions, and people are going to have different visions of the direction that the organization goes. I mean, this happens within companies. It happens within families. You know, people, and there may be very well-meaning, well-intentioned individuals with different interests and different motivations for being part of all of this. But that's why you have a board, and that's why you have people there that are voting. And I think that an association or a company or a meeting, you know, somebody that only allows like-minded individuals into that association is really limiting the ability that, you know, they're limiting the volume of that voice that they have when they're sitting at the table. Anybody here involved in any other associations other than the, you know, other than the water treatment industry? Anybody like participate or involved? I mean, when you think about this, think about, like, you know, the one that comes to mind, right, is that one we always hear about in the news is the NRA, the National Rifle Association, and how much, and, you know, again, avoiding the politics of all of it, but the one thing that I don't think anybody can deny is the influence over the course of history that the NRA has had on government. And I think that sort of makes the case. I think that proves the point regarding the strength in numbers. The NRA has had a tremendous number of members, which means that they are, they have a lot of, they have a very loud voice at the table and are able to influence, the policy. And that's the purpose. I mean, that's the goal you have to have that volume of voice. Anybody else involved in any other type of association where they've seen this or had this impact them? Or has there been an incident where any of you have had, even within our industry, where you've had to call on the association to come help you?
I'm reaching out right now to the WQA of Michigan in regards to septic tanks and water discharge from a softener. the health district number 10 gave me a small blurb in regards to it's not acceptable. There's many studies out there that state differently, NSF being one of them. So I've actually just had to send an email off from an install that we just did on Monday.
Yeah.
In regards to the customer's concern about the discharge into the septic system. And
yeah, have you, Paul, have you seen, you know, so WQRF did that septic system study a couple years ago. Did you utilize that or?
I did utilize that. I sent it off to the customer. She sent it off to the building code guy, and then they sent me off a reply last night, which, you know, nothing real great. And it's just a one-line, you know, statement that he states to me without any backing it up. Since many interfering factors contribute to the failure of sewage disposal systems, approval cannot be considered a guarantee by the District Health Department number 10 that successful operation is assured. Footage, drainage, downspouts, water conditioners shall not be connected to sewage systems or sewage disposal area. That's all he
yeah.
did. That's the
yeah.
only thing I got.
Like, sounds like he did some cutting and pasting.
Yeah.
So, and you're right. I mean, that's a prime example of how, you know, if you had, and Michigan is one that I think has a tremendous, you know, Michigan is one of those associations that could be much stronger in numbers.
It's very low.
What's that?
It is a very low percentage of dealers involved
yeah,
in Michigan.
Yeah, and it could be, you know, if a local, you know, inspector, somebody that is making, and this is not going to happen in places like Michigan overnight by any means, but I think it is a prime example, right? If you had a loud enough voice in the Michigan Water Quality Association, for example, if you had enough membership, then it would be a little easier to not just get brushed off with a cut and pasted email from somebody who just doesn't want to deal with it. You know, if you had the voice of that, if you had the strength of this association that came in, and that is, you know, we do fortunately also have the support of the National WQA on that, but the National WQA is you know, they handle things. They do get involved in sometimes the larger state issues. They've certainly been impactful. Well, they were very helpful in Colorado and also in California. And people ask me all the time, you know, what do I get out of it? I don't even know why I'm a member of that. Well, what you get, hopefully, is that seat at the table, right? And you, that's the purpose. And we elect members, you know, representatives in the, you know, that hopefully will, you know, to be on the board, to be leadership of the organization that will hopefully represent the needs that we all have. And a drain issue like that, for example, Paul, is you know, I think that's a, and it's a critical issue. You know, that's a, that's something that would impact all of us. And it's not just enough to have a seat at the table. I think that seat has to be louder. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
Oh, I do agree wholeheartedly. You know, and I've got four choices right now. She can drink a drywall. Still goes into the ground. She can put it outside her house, sign a waiver if it freezes. Not our responsibility. She could use potassium chloride, but I don't think that I can get that past the health department. Or we can give her a refund and pick our equipment up.
Yeah, that's all. The potassium chloride is almost, for a lot of people, a softener ban in many cases, just because the cost, the expense of the potassium chloride for people,
expensive.
And it makes it. What's
yeah.
that?
It's extremely expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
I have wastewater treatment plants up in Petoskey that mix, you know, the salt with the potassium because of the discharge.
Any other thoughts on this topic, you guys? I feel like sometimes when we do these calls, I feel like I'm doing a little bit of lecturing. So, but any other thoughts on this?
It would be lovely to have that seat at the table with a stronger voice. I think we are all pulled so thin, but the only way to make this organization any better is to have people that are knowledgeable on these boards or on the, you know, having a seat at that table. And it's just finding the time to be able to do it.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And there also, if a certain association has done things a certain way for a long time, and I mean, I've seen some of them that are almost like a little good old boy group, and it's a challenge to break those habits. You know, if you've had the same people in those same positions for 10, 15 years doing it the same way, then sometimes getting that change to occur is challenging. You know, and because people, they're comfortable in those positions. And often the people in those positions, they're not running into the issues that, that a lot of us are running into. It can feel a little helpless sometimes, for sure. But I agree, it takes some tenacity, and it takes enough of those people that want to get involved and that can, you know, And it sometimes it's not worth the fight. You know, it's like, why do I have to be the one making this fight when nobody else seems to be doing it? And I get that too. That's you know, I understand that. There's only so much you can fight for, you know, when it comes to business and everything else. I get that. So I am thinking, you guys, and next year or next week is going to be a I'm going to be in Chicago at the leadership conference, and I think I'm going to cancel the call next week. So just because there's a lot of meetings and a lot of things going on there as well. So there will be no call next week no MV Pro call. Michelle, if you're still on, maybe you could send out a message to that effect. And so we will talk to you guys in 2 weeks. At the next MV Pro call. Okay, so no call next week, but we will talk to you in 2 weeks see you back here at the MV Pro for the MV Pro call. Any final thoughts or comments here? Well, with that, everybody, be safe. I look forward to seeing you in person if you're at any of these events, and I will talk to you in 2 weeks, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
Have a great day.